The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Ayin Amud Rishon, and we are starting three lines from the top. Amar Rav Anan Amar Shmuel Maot Shel Yetomim Mutal Lehalvotan Berbit. Okay, Hiddush. The money that belongs to orphans, you can lend it out with interest. What's that all about over here? How could you charge interest? How could you Yetomim charge interest? They're not bound by the Torah law? Well, you tell me that they're ketanim. So he says over here, Rav Anan holds that as long as the orphans are ketanim, the law of the Torah is not on them. Therefore, they may lend the money with interest. And they don't do it themselves, obviously. The apotropos does it for them. But under the law, they can charge interest for the Yetomim in order to secure their money. Now, how is that possible? So the Gemara is going to say, Amad Rav Nachman, but because the Yetomim, we could give them something that's forbidden, give them a beat. Yetmed achle de lav dide lizlu batar shifkayu, which means the orphans that are going to now benefit from things that are not really theirs, de lav didu lizlu batar shifkayu, they're going to die like their loved ones. Which means they're going to go after they end up in the graveyard like they're deceased. Which means, how could you let them do an isur just because they're Yetomim? They deserve to die like the ones that made them Yetomim died. So Gemara says, that's not what he meant. Amar le, emali izu. Now the way they learned the word izu of it is, tell me now, gufad de'ovda hechiyava. When you heard this statement, that you're allowed to, they're allowed to charge. What was the case? It cannot be stam charging interest regular. Tell me the case, the way you heard it. I want to know now. Gufado of the hekiyava. So Amar le Surav, because he heard it from Shmuel. So if I don't heard it from Shmuel, so tell me how you heard the case. So Amar le. So he told him like this. Avanan says, "Ha'u duda debne mor ogba." The children of Mor Ogba were Yetomim. They had a dude. What is a dude? Like a urn. Metal urn over there where they make hot water. Mor Shmuel. Okay, Mor Shmuel was taking care of it. Takil v'yahivle. Shmuel would weigh the dude, I guess it's metal value, whatever it is, and he would give it away, he would rent it out. Takil v'shakile. And we'd weigh it again before we take it back, and he would charge the renters if there was a weight difference, I guess, when the usage of it, or you know, it wears itself out. So he would charge him for the rental plus any difference in the weight. Shakil agra v'shakil pechata. That means he took the rental fee and he also took the payment if the item eroded. Oh, so Gemara says, let's read that sheet first. Gufad ovda. Shiraita et mor Shmuel noe ken she'atta zot b'stoy. You testified in Shmuel's name that it's okay. What was the case? I mean, he didn't say it, beferush. You must have seen the story that happened. And from the story you saw, you deduced that you're allowed to charge interest for Yetomim. You saw him do some, therefore you assume that it's with that. What did you see? Now do da. Kalahat. Okay, shikurin kol dira. Like a cauldron. Devne mor ogba Yetomim. They were Yetomim. Takir ve'evle, takir ve'shakila. Hayam maskira la'achirim. He used to rent it to others. V'shakla kishum mosra lahim. He would weigh it when he would give it to them. V'chozer mikabla b'mishkan. And when he get it back from them, he would weigh it again. V'imhasen nechushta. If let's say the metal was depreciated because it was used. Mishamim lo demei chesrona. They would pay for the amount of the valuation. V'yahiv le demei agar. They would also get the payment, the rent. So the Gemara says, keep on fingering on Nashi. Gemara says, I agra lo pechta. Here we go again. If you're taking rent, so you're not allowed to charge for the pot, Rashi, chesron nechushta. Which means, because once I'm getting payment for the rent, and now you also charge me for the depreciation of the dude, so basically that is like a situation of Rabbi, which is that means what's happening over it's alone. I'm accepting upon myself to pay for the full value of the dude, and therefore when I'm paying you back for the depreciation, so now I'm also paying you back a rent. L'chaura, that looks like a rebit. That's why he says i'agra. If you charge me rent, lo pachta v'ipachta lo agra. If you charge me for the erosion, then you cannot charge me for the rent. Rashi. Continue where we left off. You cannot charge it to me with a beat. We have the rule. Once already accepted ones of the depreciation of the dude, we learned that you cannot charge rent. Must be in such a case. That's why the dude said, when it comes to Yatomim, we're lenient that they can charge it. That's why Mor Shmuel would take the dude of the Yatomim, rent it out, take rental payment, take depreciation payment. Must be that while when it comes to Yatomim, we're lenient and it comes to the story of Rebit. Amale, he says, no, that's not the explanation. Amale, ki ha, afilu, bedekananen, ame, sharel, me'abad. Forget about Yatomim. This would be permissible even by Gedolim. Even by adults, this situation is permissible. Oh, what do you mean? I thought this would be. No, you know why? Which means, every time you use an urn, it seems the metal depreciates to a certain degree. There's two things that are happening here. Number one, if there was a weight difference, let's say the bottom of the urn broke or something like that, then the renter would have to pay for that. But there is a depreciation every time you use an urn. Just by putting it on the fire, the weight and the metal depreciates. So therefore you say there's two things over here. The depreciation, he doesn't have to pay for. Which means the renter uses it, everything's intact. But once you use it once already, the fire causes a depreciation to the dude. Give it back as is. Oh, so therefore, basically, I'm not accepting upon myself the dude. Really, it's your dude that I'm renting. I pay you a rental. In the event it breaks, something happened to the metal of it or something like that, in the kind of minute, then already I'm going to pay you. It's like, go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf. It's like the case of the cow. Which I'm accepting upon myself, if it dies, I'll pay you the value, but I'm not accepting upon myself depreciation. In such a case, we said that the beat is muta, it's not a beat. So that was the case of the interest. He says, Yitomim, you cannot charge interest. Yitomim, they're like no difference in anybody else. What you saw? That's not a beat situation. Look at Rashi. Even Gedolim would be able to do it. Look at Rashi. Deha, mekable alayu chuska din chushta. Chuska is the depreciation of the copper. Pat demand nechosh shenishal ken mefarish mazidechol ma demikle nachsha. The more you burn or you put the fire to the copper, batzre dame, its damim are depreciated. Afapi shemishamim et chosra mishkal. Even though they pay, I say there's a weight difference. I say the weight of it actually changed. They'd have to pay for that. Yes, pat benechotchen and notar. But even what's remaining depreciate. There's two things there. There's hasaron, meaning it weighed 10 pounds when you got it. Now weighs 9 pounds. That they're charging for. But even the 9 pounds that's left is not the same value anymore because you used it on the fire. So if we didn't accept upon themselves that chodosh serup damat pechotim. So therefore the deen is it would be mutar. So comes the Gemara and says, is there a case where we'll be lenient to Yatomim? Yes. Rabbah Bar Shila Amar Rav Chasda. Va'amila Amar Rabbah Bar Yosef Bar Chama Amar Rav Sheshat. Ma'ot shel Yatomim mutal alvotam karov la'sachar ve'rachok le'hefsed. Oh, there is a case that the money belongs to the Yatomim. You can lend it out for investment. Karov la'sachar, in the case where the Yatomim are destined to be closer to making a profit and far from a loss. What is that case? Kadashi. Karov la'sachar. Shehi yatomim notim chelek b'schar. They're going to make profit. Let's say they lend their money out, they make profit. Ve'en notim chelek b'hefsed. And they're not going to take a share in losses. In that case over there, where there's a bigger reward for them than there is a risk, In that case over there, we let you to about the beat mamash. I'll give you the case in a minute. About the beat mamash, lo. But to charge regular interest, asud. Elamash yistakiru ma'otehem yahloku. Now, which is whatever the profits that are made on their money, they'll be able to split, even though they accept upon themselves no loss. Now, forgive the bidikarine asur, even though, let's say, if adults would involve themselves in such a practice, it's asur, lav ribit mamashu, it's not really the bid deoraita, ila abak ribitu, umbit rabbanam. So since it's a rabbinical ribit, so in yetomim, we're going to be lenient. Why? Because we don't want the yetomim's money to be lost, because they're eating their money, and by the time they get older, they're not going to have any funds left. So therefore, we were a little lenient for them in certain situations, in which cases... So the case is like this. Ordinarily, I just read inside what we know this already. The financing partner does not accept any risk of loss. So the entire amount is advanced, consider of a loan. Oh, when it's a loan, so that's a profit. Because he's getting back his money plus the free work that was done. And therefore, it's a situation of ribit. However, in the case of Yetumim, they could give their money out. They could assume only the reward, even though they're not going to accept any loss. That means it's really a loan to them, so they're going to get their money back plus a profit. For Yetomim, the Achamim were lenient in such a situation. Because even if an adult would do it, only be a Suda the Banan, because really a transaction. But the rabbis will go there to repeat on that, but not in the case of Yetomim, which basically is the Eska case. We were being lenient on the Yetomim, where they have really all the benefits, and they accept no risk, basically. That means the worker has to pay back if there's a loss. So that's really a loan to him. So he's giving back the loan plus a profit. Normally by an adult that would be a rebit, but by Yetum, so their money does not get lost. The rabbis were lenient in such a situation. Tanur banan. Karov la-sachar means yeah, profits, close to profit, v'rahok lehefsed. That's the situation. If a guy does that, rasha. Because basically what he's doing is, he is taking the beat. I get all the, which means I give you money, I only get profits. You owe me the money regardless. That means it's a loan by you. You got to pay me back the money. I'm getting back my money, plus a reward, plus the fact that you worked for me. So that's the situation of the beat. That is definitely a problem. Right, even though it's only Sudra Banan, they're calling him a Rasha anyway. Karov lehefsed v'rahok l'schar. Okay, Hasid. Wow, he accepts upon himself more loss than gain. He sets it up over there where the worker will make more. He has a little responsibility, but the worker has more to gain than the actual investor, and the guy's a Hasid. I mean, it's not a 50-50 deal. So then already the guy's obviously Hasid. Karov lazeh lazeh, if it's basically equal, profit and loss, or rachok mizeh mizeh, from hefsed, so then zuhi midat kol adam. That's considered the regular, that's expected from him. Half profits and half losses. That's basically the fair deal. So again, if he accepts no losses, rasha, ribit rabbanan, albeit. He accepts upon himself more loss than gain, good for him, he's a hasid. He accepts upon himself half loss, half gain, that's considered a situation of midat berunit, which is midat kol ha'adam. Comes Gemara and says another idea. Amarava amale rabbanan of Yosef. Hani zuzed yatme. Okay, if money belongs to the yetomim, hechi adirin, what do you do with them? Which means basically we want to get profit for the yetomim. So how are you supposed to invest it without making any sur? Amale mutbinan lehu bedina. First of all, you get the courts to step in to take care of the funds. V'yehavinan lehu zuza zuza. Now, the court will administer the money, and as the yetomim need it, they'll give them, you know, zuz at a time for their expenses. So amale v'akakalya kanna. What's that going to benefit? Eventually, they're going to run out of principal, and there's not going to be any money. We have to figure out a way to make the money. So amale morechi abid. So what do you do with the masses, with the orphans' money? Amale, Rabbi says, bedkinan gabra di itle dahaba pericha. We find a guy, wealthy guy, obviously, that has gold nuggets, gold fragments, gold pieces.
you could assume that those gold pieces belong to him. Guy, we know he owns gold. It's not on a consignment or things like that. We know he owns gold. V'naktinan dahaba mineh. Take the gold from him as a security. V'yavinan lehu nihaleh. And give him the orphan's money as an eska. Which means, let the guy go to the rich guy and get involved in a partnership, right? Get involved in an investment with Yetumim, with a rich guy. Go to the rich guy, take his gold, of course, with permission. Give the Yetumim's money to the rich guy, and tell the rich guy to make a deal with the Yetumim to invest the money. How? Karov la sachar verachok lehefsed. Oh, which means that the orphans will make the profit, and he'll be taking the hefsed. In that case over there, we said for Yetumim, it's okay. So basically, get them a business deal with a rich guy, and let the rich guy take the collateral from the rich guy, the gold that he has over there, and the scraps, whatever it may be, and give him the money of the Yetumim, just so you have a collateral against that money over there, and let him invest the money, and let him give all the profits to the Yetumim, and he'll accept upon himself all the losses. Now, even though for a regular person that would be a debit problem, because bottom line, he's not accepting any, he's accepting all the losses, that means it's like a loan. You're lending the guy money, and he's giving you back only profits, and he's working for you, but for Yetumim, that's okay, and that's the way you're gonna do it. Look at that sheet. Dara pericha, grutra ochzav, a piece of gold. Devadai shelohen. Ve'ero pikadon. I'm not worried that these belong to somebody else, these gold fragments. As she says, point is, you got to know, make sure that the gold belongs to the rich guy before you get involved in this business deal over here. So when you see the fragment, you know that it is, because people don't usually give collaterals of broken gold. Basically, you know the guy's rich. Which means basically the guy can cover it. If the money of the Yetumim get lost, the gold will cover it. It's beautiful. So Gemara says, but if you see the guy has like a golden vase, do not take that as collateral. Because maybe it doesn't belong to the rich man. Because could be the rich man lent money out, and the guy who borrowed the money gave the gold vase as a collateral. What's going to happen? You're going to give that to the Yetumim to protect their investment. Also, the original owner of the vase is going to come and take it from the Yetumim and walk away. Now the Yetumim are stuck because they have no collateral against their investment. So therefore, you can only take scraps, but you cannot take a dava that is misuyam. Now, scraps, you don't assume it's a collateral. People don't give scraps as collateral. Guy's not going to take a scrap as a collateral. So therefore, the deen is, take the scraps, so you know for sure books to the rich man, that protects the loan of the, protects the interest of the Yetumim, but not in the Vabashim. Last point. It is all good if you find the guy that has the scraps. Yeah. Back to the question. What are you going to do to the money of the Yetumim? But they should just be eaten up. So Gemara says, Hazinan Gabra Dimshapun Nixef. A guy who's rich, he has stable properties. Umheman. And obviously he's a trustworthy guy. The Shama Dina de Oraita, the guy's gotta be religious, meaning he follows the laws of the Torah. The lo mekabel shamtad rabbanan. And he's so religious that he never got excommunicated by the Rabbanan, by the rabbis, meaning he's following the Torah, the Rabbanan, everything. What? Give him the orphan's money and let him invest it. Now, why is this any different than what we said before? Because in this case, it's the same deal, meaning I'm giving you a guy, find a rich, honest, religious guy, give the money of the Yetumim, and tell the guy, invest it with the business of Karov. They have said he accepts all the losses, and the Yetumim accept all the reward. Now, why is that different than the case that we said above? So that she says, and the Gemara really says it, it's being organized by a Betin. Let Betin oversee this transaction. What are we getting by Betin overseeing the transactions? Look at Rashi. Before Betin, look at the bottom of Rashi. She is him koah. Oh, להפקיד נכסי המקבל אצל היתומים ולתנות אמו קרוב לצחב לחוק נפסד. She throws it over here now. You need betin to invoke their ability of what's called hefket betin hefket. Betin has a right to take money from this guy and give it to that guy as they see fit. Which means, really, according to this opinion, we're not going to waive the ribit rules just because the kid's a yatom. Originally, we said, "Nah, it's the beat, but don't worry about it because the yatomim, it's only the beat of the banan. Waive it, let him give it, let him take the gold, let it tell the rich guy accept upon yourself all the losses." This rabbi said, "No. The beat we don't allow, even the beat of the banan, not by yatomim, but hefker betin hefker." That's a law that applies to anybody. So therefore, give it to the rich guy. Betin will impose it. Now, Betin can tell the guy, whatever money you make, give all that money as if care that belongs to the Yetumim. And it's not interest. That's already Betin, possessed the money and took it from this person and gave it as, and as they say fit, in this case they see fit because it's a Yetum, therefore, it's not going to be considered to be, which is, according to this rabbi, we're not allowing stam to be transactions to take place by yatomim. Unless you have a halachic loophole, i.e., hefker bedin hefker, then already it's going to be permissible. So this is much easier now, by the way. You don't have to find a guy with a collateral. Find a guy that has honesty, a guy that follows the halachot, give him the money to yatomim, tell him, invest it. And he says, what if I lose all the money? You lose all the money, you got to pay back. You got to pay back to the yatomim. And what if I make all the money? Make all the money, give all that money back to the Yatumim itself. I repeat. Betin is going to come along and say, whatever you make belongs to the Yatumim, whatever you lose, you're obligated to pay. If Kibbutz Yafkir can tell you, you have to pay that money back to the Yatumim as well. And therefore, it sidesteps the Rebit issue. Now, in the Kabbalin Son Barzel, Misrael, Mitneshehu, Rebit. Okay. Tzon Barzel literally means on a sheep. Barzel is iron. Simple case over there. You're going into a deal. The guy that's taking care of the deal accepts upon himself for responsibility. So basically, it turns into a loan. So when he gives back the money and he gives back a profit, it's going to turn into a debit situation. Tzon Barzel is like it's guaranteed, locked in. They used to deal in tzon, so that's why it's called Tzon Barzel. The sheep says right on the top, called Achrayut Nechasim Ala Mekabel. All the responsibilities on the receiver. Vesham otam ala b'maot. They put a price to it. Let's say this sheep is worth $1,000. Maybe v'chozeman she'en noten lo ma'otav cholkin ha-sechar. Which means they have a division of profits off of Gav. The Mishnah yeterah. Now, Rashi has a problem. By this point in the Pirik, we should know this already, from the Din of Eska. The Din of Eska is a case where the guy is only responsible for half the amount. And we said it's a problem of ribit, because the half turns into a loan. Called sheken, when the guy's responsible for the whole amount, it's going to be ribit, because the whole thing's going to turn into a loan. So the chalra, we should know this. That's what she's going to say. And Moshivin and Vanil Mahasit Sakhar. That's the case of Eska. Mishum de Mikabel Allah Palga Bevsed, the Khoshkenaka, the Kibel Kola Hariut Allah. So she's problem. He says, Lekitle, Mishum Sefa. The point of the Mishnah is not this point. The point is, you can't accept a deal of some barzil from a goy where you're going to give him the beat, where the goy is going to charge you the beat, you're going to give him the beat, we're not going to be a problem. So the hadush is not on the Jew side. The Jew side, it's asur. It's not only asur on some barzil, it's even asur la mahasit sachar, even on half acceptance of responsibility. The hadush is on the next line, the goy. Which is what? The second line of the Mishnah says, Aval mekabelim tzon barzel min ha'akum. Which means you can accept it from the goy, even though when you're giving it back, you're giving the goy interest. So what? There's no din of interest. Legabe di goyim min ha'akum. Velovin mehen umalvin otam birbit. Okay, velovin mehen, you could borrow from the goyim umalvin otam, and you can lend them bit of beat. Sounds like there's no problem of goyim either way when it comes to beat. Vechen beger toshav. Okay, what's a ger toshav? Ger toshav basically is someone that accepts upon himself seven mitzvot b'nei Noah. Now, what is it saying? Vechen beger toshav, that the law applies to him. What law applies to him? Yeah, interest or no interest. So, you know what I was going to say? that the law of interest actually he's treated like a goy. Okay, treated like a goy. Even though he has the seven mitzvot, he accepted upon himself certain something, but it's not enough to be obligated in the debit laws. Okay, malve Yisrael ma'otav shel akum midat ha'akum, aval lo midat Yisrael. Okay, literally, I'm going to give you the literal interpretation. We'll wait for the Gemara to give us the pirush of this line. It's a whole sugya. Basically, it says malve Yisrael ma'otav shel akum. Literally, the Jew can lend out the goy's money. So long as the goy knows about it. However, in the reverse case, not midat Yisrael. Rashi says, wait for the Gemara, so we'll take his we'll take his advice. Rashi says, mefarish b'Gemara. Okay, we begin. Okay, let's just basically set up what's going to happen in the next piece over here. How does it work? I make a deen of Som Barzeh with somebody, a Jew, let's say. So the deen is, it's ribit. What's the pshat? Because when I give him the goods, he's responsible for everything. Full responsibility, meaning he has to pay me back everything I gave him. Basically, it turns into a loan. So he's paying me back guaranteed, plus the sakhar, the profit. Well, it's like a ribit situation. So that means what? That all the goods belong to who? Belong to the one I gave it to. Which means when I give over the tzon, the owner now loses ownership because it turns into a loan. Loan means it belongs totally to the one that I gave it to. So the Gemara is going to challenge that premise. So the Gemara says, Lememra de birshuta de mekabel kaima. You mean to tell me that when you do a tzom barzel deal, it belongs to the one that receives it? And yeah, we understood that, yeah, because it's a loan. So therefore the Chavrat says, what's the problem with that? Would it mean we have a contradiction? Ha-mekabel son barzel min ha-nukhrim. So you received animals, let's say, from the goy. He put you in business, right? He gave you his animal, he told you to develop it and all that. You have full responsibility now of the animal, by the way, which is it's a loan now. But it's not a problem, we said, because there's no ribit by a goy. However, it says, Veladot peturin min ha-bechora. Oh, we have a new deen here. Forget about the ribit. The law is, you have a firstborn animal that's born, you got to take the bit to Mikdash, bring it to the Korban. It's a whole deen in the regular Jewish animal, right? It's born by a Jewish owner. And the chora, this animal that was given to the Jew by the goy in a Som Barzel deal, the way we understand it, it's a loan. So if it's a loan, who owns the animal? The Jew. So l'chaura, the animal in itself, if it's a bechor, or if it has a child, that it's a bechor, offspring, it should be chayav as a bechorah, because it totally belongs to the Jew.
Why are you saying it? I'm sorry.
Because again, what is a loan? Pshat is, it's my money, it's my money, mm-hmm. And I owe it to you. So it's mine to do what I want, but I just owe you the value. I own the animal, I guarantee you the worth of that, that's why it turns into a loan. Whenever I guarantee losses of it, so it turns into a loan, I owe you that money, which either gets lost, let's say, I owe you $1,000, regardless. So it's a loan, but it's mine, that means. But it's a loan, means it's not yours anymore. It's mine, I just have to replace it. Also, if it's mine, then the chara, the animal, should be born, should be hayav in the law of Bechorah. Jewish-owned animal is hayav in Bechorah, that's the deen. Oh, but why does it say that if a goy gets into the Tzom Barzel business with you, that the animal that's born is patur from Bechorah. That's the mitzvah where the goy still holds on to some possession of it. How is that so? Right? So we can read a little Rashi over here. Rashi says, V'ladot peturim min ha-bechora. Lo mebaya imahot de peturot min ha-bechora. She'im yalda bechor eno kadosh, sherehen atzman shel nochri, v'torah amra b'Yisrael. So not only the mother, let's say the mother that was given to the Yisrael, and that mother had a Bechor, not only is that one going to be Patur, that's Pashur, because that first animal was given to you by the Goy, which means, let's say, the offspring had an offspring. Now that offspring is already half prophets already, that's half the Yisrael and half the Goys. And still it says, it's going to be patur. Otan amagiyin nechalek yisef patulim in a bechora kishitaberu v'yaldu alma birshuta denoten kaime. That's the key. Which means not only the first generation, even the second generation, even the Yisrael has a little chalek in it, doesn't matter. It says mipatur. It's mashma that the animals still belong into the possession of the goy. But the way we're learning this Mishnah, it's mashma, it really belongs to the one that is receiving it. Amar Abaye la kasha. Hada mekabel ale unsa vezula. Adolam mekabel ale unsa vezula. Oh, so remember, let's just get the terminologies. Unsa vezula. Unsa means he accepts upon himself if something happens to it, and then he'll pay the whole thing. And Zulai accepts upon himself even the depreciation, which is when he gives it back, he'll pay back even the amount that depreciated. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Matnitin bechorot kon dekibel ale unsa bezula. Oh, the reason why in the Mishnah over there in Bechorot said it's patur from Bechora, because the goy kept certain things. The goy accepted upon himself that if it gets lost, he'll pay for it. Oh, or if it depreciates, he accepts the loss. So if he's still holding on to some of the amas, it's not totally alone anymore. Adrabah, now he's accepting upon himself the onus. So if he's accepting upon himself the onus, it means it still belongs to him. It's really not a loan anymore. Oh, and our Mishnah was talking about where the receiver accepted upon himself all the unsa vezula. Very good question. Once already you're telling me that the goy accepted upon himself all responsibilities, that's not Son Barzel anymore. Son Barzel means you're protecting yourself. Not that you're making yourself liable. Why would you call the case of Bechor a Son Barzel? It's not Son Barzel anymore. You undid all the dynamics of a Son Barzel once the goy accepting upon himself the losses. The odd, not only that, once you introduce me a case of a goy that accepts upon himself Achrayut, Adetani Sefa. Our Mishnah over here. You gave me a case where it's Asur Son Barzel by Israel, but it's Mutar Son Barzel by a Goy. The flock bedide. Vamede vani mamunim dvo kibel ale unsa vezula. Avel kibel mara unsa vezula. Shapidame, which you don't have to go to Goy. Once already you're making a haluk between unsa vezula, give me a case. When is it Asur by Israel? When the receiver accepted upon himself all the responsibilities, so therefore he's liable. That's why it's an abit situation. But she'enke, when the giver received upon himself all the responsibilities, it's not a problem. We have to get to a goy case. Once you give me this two cases of Son Barzel, where one time the receiver accepted and one time the giver received, you've got to get to a goy case. So Gemara said, back to the question, how are you going to explain me Bechorot? Why in the case of Bechorot, when the goy gives the animal, why is the child not Hayab Bechorah? The Bechorah belongs to the Jew. You have to say the case of talking about where the owner did not receive accept responsibility. Where all the responsibility is on the receiver. Also, why is that considered a Bechor of Israel? Because Bechorot, no reason. Hainu tam de veladot peturim in Bechorah kevan di'id lo yehiv zuzeh. Because what would happen, I agree, the Jew technically accepts upon himself this responsibility of the animal. That means what? If it gets lost, whatever happens to it, he has to pay the $1,000. So he owns it. Also, why is it patur from Bechorah? Because let's say he doesn't. Let's say whatever reason the Jew doesn't pay back the goy, the money. What could the goy do? Aten nochri tafis la lebhema. He could come into the Jews heard and grab the animal back. So the animal's not around. He could take the kids. So he still has a hand in there. New law. Even though really you're right, halakhically it really belongs to the Jew because it's a loan. He's accepting upon himself a loan, meaning full responsibility. But there is a case where the goy could stick his hand in and grab the animal back. In the event where the Jew doesn't want to pay, so the goy's going to go into the field, hey, where's the animal? Hey, the mother's not here anymore. Oh yeah? Well, you owe me $1,000. That's the kid. Click, you take the kid. So therefore, since he has a hand in taking the animal back, that's enough to poter it from Mecha, which means you don't only need the Jew to own it, to be chayav in Bechora, but if the goy even has a tzad, to take it, it's an option. It might not have come to fruition. So, but he has a chance that he can pull that animal back. That already is going to be portrayed from the Bechora Rashi, Bechor all the way down. Bechor anu tamad the petrim in Bechora kevan de'i aten nochri tabazuza. We established it for $1,000. Where's my money?
ולא יעיד ותאפיס לבהמה הראשונה שהייתה שלו, the arm that he gave. ואילו את משכח בהמה תאפיס לבלדות, מגיעים לחלקות של ישראל. So he can take the, he can take even the part of the Israel, which means, even though the second animal is 50-50, it's his and, but bottom line, you owe me 1,000. So I can take even your part. So therefore, since the goy has a hand in the action, therefore, is patur mechor. That is the first piece. Now we go into other dinim. Gemara quotes a pasuk. It's a pasuk from Mishle, I guess. Pasuk says, Marbe hono beneshech betarbit. A guy that increases his wealth from neshech and marbit, from all type of interest bearing situations. Lehonen dalim yekabbesenu. His money is going to go to somebody that's going to give it to the poor people. All his money is going to go to somebody that's going to dispense it to poor people. What's that? My lechonen dalim, amarav kegon shvor malka. Oh, not Jewish poor people. Shvor malka was a Persian king. Your money is going to be repossessed by the goy, and the goy is going to give it out to aniye akum. Your money is going to go end up supporting the goyim. Rashi says, who is shvor malka? Melech parasaya. He was a Persian king. Venoten mamon Israel. Vechonen hem dalim nochrim. Shehem dalim min ha-mitzvot. That's why I call them dalim. The poor, meaning they're poor from mitzvot. Meaning they're not obligated to mitzvot. Dalim nochrim. That's what they're calling them dal. Okay. Chonen dalim. Amar Rav Nachman. Amar li huna. Lo nitzrecha ela. Ta'afilu ribit oved kochavim. Even if a Jew charges a goy to beat, that money already is going to go to loss. Even though in the Torah, the Chaurah, it's mutar. But he's coming and saying, not only when the Jew charges a Jew, that's pashut, even the Jew that charges the goy, there's no blessing in that money. Eti beraval Rav Nachman. What are you talking? The Torah says, lenochri tashich. Torah clearly says, bite him. Meaning, it's a mitzvah. Charge the goy, interest. My tashich. What does it mean when it says tashich? Lav tashoch, meaning to bite him, meaning you charge him interest. Lo tashich, it means tashi. Davka kamar atate no ribit. You can pay him ribit, but don't take from him. Read it like tashich. Would you let yourself get bitten, but don't take from him? So the Gemara says, lo sagi de lav hacher. Le'apuke achicha, which means the Gemara says, Ashi, bottom line, lo sagi de la vache v'chi ba ketuv letzavot alenu liten rebit la'akum. Is that the pasuk telling me? The pasuk coming to tell me a pasuk that I should give rebit to the goy. De ilu la'tir ka'amar pshita me'echiti tile le'misre. Which means when the pasuk is coming to along and saying, what does it say in the pasuk? La nochri tashich, right? So we always understood the pasuk to mean charge of interest. Now the Gemara is saying, no, the pasuk is coming to say, my tashich, lav tishoch. Maybe I think you could charge of interest. Lo tashich. What does it mean? You can receive or tendo. So the pasuk is coming. I need a pasuk to come and tell me, give him a beat. That's a mitzvah. What does it mean? Pay him the beat. So he must lo sagi de la vache. I need a pasuk to come and tell me to give the goy the beat. Is that what's coming to teach me? So Gemara says la puke achicha to the exclusion of your brother. De lo achicha. So what does Gemara say? La puke achicha. It's coming to say, yeah, to the goy pay him interest, to the exclusion of your brother, that you cannot pay him interest. You're right. The pasuk is not coming to tell me to goy. It's the implication. La nochri to the goy, pay him. But exclusion to the Jew, don't pay him. Well, I don't read that. De lo achicha de lo. Achicha beja ketibet. What are you talking? Your brother, the Jew, it's written explicitly. Ul achicha lo tashich. Clear the Torah says, you can't charge your brother interest. La'avor alav ba'aseh ve'lo ta'aseh. Wow. It's coming to tell me now, when you charge your brother interest, you get two sins. Number one, the pasuk that says, u'lachicha lo tashich. That's clearly a lo ta'aseh. And then you have what's called an aseh,
Haba mechla, lo ta'aseh, haba mechla ta'aseh. Because when the Torah comes along and says, Tergoy, Tergoy, you can. That's it, right? Tergoy,
give
to the Goy. It means, but don't give to the Jew. Oh, so that's considered mechla ta'aseh. Because when the implication from an aseh is an aseh. So wow, according to this Gemara, it's really coming to tell me that what, while you cannot charge the Goy, but you give the Goy interest. And therefore, it teaches me as well that when I charge the Jew, my brother, I'm going to get an aseh and a lot aseh. That's why the Pasuk Mishnah comes and tells me that even if you charge Goyim, which you shouldn't, there's going to be a timayon. Your money's going to go down the drain. You're going to lose it to the government. Gemara says, what are you talking? What about our Mishnah? Etive lavin mehen umalvin otam b'ribit. Right there. Didn't we say in the Mishnah, you could lend them and borrow from them with ribit. So if I can just tell me it's asur. Vechen beger toshav. Not only that, get toshav also. That's the guy that's hayav in the seven mitzvot. Amar b'hiya bered ravuna lo nitzricha ela b'chdeh hayav. Wow. Yeah, you can charge the goy interest up to a certain point. Up to the amount you need to live. Which means, by a Jew, you can't even charge him a penny interest, even if you're starving. But when it comes to a goy, we'll let you charge him interest just enough that you can sustain yourself. That's she. Hetiru lo v'yoter mikan asumed rabbanan. Why should it be asur? She gives us a reason. Dilma atil misrach. It's gezerat rabbanan. Why? We don't want you to get used to charging interest. Because if we allow you to charge interest by a goy, what's going to end up happening? Mali goy, mali yisrael, you get into the habit, atil misrach, you're going to charge Jews. So to a certain extent, we'll let you go, ad kedi hayav. But more than that, no. So that's what the pasuk is saying. You start charging goyim interest more than you're allowed to, you're going to lose the money. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen v'amen.